We're so glad to have our youth praise team helping lead in worship this morning. Thank you so much. Let's all turn in our hymnals to hymn number 60, Be Thou My Vision. And let's stand together as we sing. My treasure.
Today, I'll be reading Philippians 3, verse 4b through 14. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law of Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I may press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Join me as we pray together this morning. And so, Lord, today we come with these words of Scripture in our ears, seeking to move past the things behind and to strain forward toward the things of you that are ahead of us. Lord, there are so many things that we've brought with us from this week behind us. Challenges of work, challenges of school, family challenges, challenges of our health. But Lord, you have more in store for us, for you are about to do a new thing inside of us. And so, Lord, we come preparing ourselves for your future. Help us to be a people, O Lord, that leans forward into you, trusting you, hoping in you, for you have better days ahead. May that be our attitude today as you come into us in this hour of worship. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day, and welcome to First Baptist Cornelia. Is anybody wearing green? You can tell those who did and those who didn't. After growing up in Savannah, St. Patrick's Day has a whole nother view in my life nowadays. But St. Patrick, if you didn't know it, was born in England around the 350s, 370s, and was kidnapped by Irish pirates, taken over to the country of Ireland, and served as a slave there for many years. It was into his 20s till he finally escaped and made his way back to Britain, where he began to feel a calling of following God. He moved into a monastery. He began to train his life into a life of faith and a life of the Scripture, the life of the church. and eventually went back to Ireland to become a missionary. Words are most likely that there was already a small Christian movement on the island, but he brought the Word of God in such a powerful way that most of that island began to follow after Jesus and continues on today to be a very strong Catholic community and nation, all going back to one man's desire to forgive those who held him hostage and to know the power of the gospel in someone's life. And that becomes a part of why we come to worship today, that the gospel is powerful in our lives today, just as it was for those early pagans in the 300s and 400s when St. Patrick made his way over there. And today, as we worship together, I pray that you will experience God's power in a unique and wonderful way to give you the ability to move forward in the life that God has in store for you. If you are a guest with us, we are thankful for your presence. We hope that you will experience the warmth of this church family and the warmth of God's presence through God's Son, Jesus. Today, we have on the pew racks little cards that say, "Welcome guest," and we'd love for you to know of your presence with us. You can fill those out and turn them during our time of offering, and we'll have a chance to follow up with you in ministry this week. So we're thankful for that you are here, and let me invite Bobby to come, and we're going to pass the peace of Christ. We sing today is victory in Jesus. We'll sing through one verse, and then we'll come back and ask you to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Yes, we have victory in Jesus through the blood of Christ. We're only going to sing that chorus for our fellowship song. You know that. Let's stand together as we sing.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Let's pass the peace of Christ this morning as we greet one another. Plunged me to victory beneath Thank you, and please be seated.
Come on up here, Rhett. Well, you know, this during our time of Lent, I have been asking various folks to share a little bit about their passions, about where their passion for Jesus connects with the passion in the world. And most of you all know Rhett Grimstead. You remember him when he was a lot smaller and not quite as buff as I am. Thank you for making me look so strong this morning.
Sure.
And you know, Rhett, I wanted you to get a chance to hear Rhett's heartbeat. You all maybe remember him when he was younger. You've walked with his family for a long time. You've seen Rhett grow. He graduated from Clemson last year. But God's placed a great sense of calling on his life, and I wanted you to have a chance to hear about it before he goes off and conquers the world in whatever places that that God leads him, because I know that he will do excellent wherever that is. But Rhett, we are glad you're here, and I'm going to let you share a little bit.
I appreciate it. Thanks. Well, first and foremost, I'd like to thank this congregation. You know, as Eric mentioned, I've been coming here since I was really young, running around the halls causing all kind of ruckus, and, you know, the support and the love that you've given me as my church family has really helped me and my family get through some of the tough times that we've had to, and I know I wouldn't be where I am today without all of you, so thank you, first and foremost. And so I guess just to catch everybody up a little bit on me, as Eric mentioned, I attended Clemson University in the fall of 2008. I graduated this past May. There I studied biology and Spanish, and since then I have been accepted into the Mercer University School of Medicine class of 2017, and so I'll be starting medical school in August. But I kind of just wanted to share a little bit about how I kind of came to be where I am now. And the first thing I want to do, I want to share a prayer with everyone that my dad shared with me and my sisters, and I actually believe it was the Cornelia First Baptist Church softball team prayer for many years. And it simply goes, "Dear Lord, help us to be more like you and less like ourselves." Now, you know, I'd heard that for many years growing up as a child, and this whole time I pretty much took this literally. Like, okay, "Dear Lord, help us be more like you and less like ourselves." Okay. "Dear Lord, help us to be more good and less bad." So that's how I took it for a long time in my life. And then there was a point after my freshman year of college at Clemson, I had the opportunity to go on a medical mission trip to Nicaragua with some of the members of this church. And when I was there, just the things I experienced and the things that I saw just made me realize really my purpose in life. So up until then, I knew I wanted to go to medical school. I knew I wanted to be a doctor. But the problem was I didn't know why. I didn't know my purpose. I didn't know exactly why I wanted to go to medical school. So after returning home from Nicaragua that time, I felt that I could go back and look at that prayer that my dad said so many years ago, and the prayer was, "Dear Lord, help us be more like you and less like ourselves," and I could reevaluate it into my own personal situation. And so I reevaluated it as, "Dear Lord, help us to be servants in your name." And so from that point forward, I had my purpose. I had my goal. I knew why I wanted to be a physician, you know. I had my path that God has laid out for me. And so I'll tell you another story. The following summer after getting home from Nicaragua, I was reassured that I was walking the right path, that I was doing the right thing when I was accepted into a group at Clemson to go to Costa Rica and Panama for 2 weeks to do medical missions. And one of the times whenever we were in Costa Rica, there was a lady that walked in. She walked in with her young son. Her son must have been older than five. You know, the lady goes off to another group of students to get evaluated or whatever. And I lock eyes with this little boy who's no older than five. And, you know, he kind of comes up to me and Luckily, at the time, my Spanish skills had improved a little bit. And so he and I were able to converse and kind of share with one another. And I learned, first of all, that his name was Carlos, and that he had also grown up without his father. Now, I'm unsure of the circumstances in which this happened for him, but immediately I saw a connection to Carlos. And, you know, while Carlos may never remember this kind of situation that we had, I know that I'll never forget it. Because for me, it acted as the reassuring agent that I was still following God's path, that I was still walking the right way. And so just seeing how happy Carlos was to be in the situation he was in, that dire situation that he was in, just really reassured me that I was doing the right thing. And so I returned to Clemson, eventually graduated this past May. And since I've graduated, I've had the incredible opportunity to serve with some fine folks at the Cornelia Soup Kitchen. And, you know, this kind of just played right into my wheelhouse, you know. I'm all about just kind of using whatever means and methods that I can employ to serve God and serve my fellow man. And so that, just going right along with the soup kitchen, just really, again, helped me reassure that I was in the right direction. And so with the support of my family, my friends, my church family, and of course the guidance from the Lord, I'm now able to understand that, dear Lord, help us to be more like you and less like ourselves. Doesn't only mean, dear Lord, help us to be more good and less bad, but for me it means, dear Lord, help us to be servants in your name. And so with this realization, I knew that my purpose was to serve God and to serve my fellow man by whatever means I had available. And so I'll leave you with this one verse that I believe ties everything together. And it comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And it reads, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms." Thank you.
Good morning. Today I'll be reading Isaiah 43, verses 16 through 21, and I'm reading from the Message version. This is what God says, the God who builds a road right through the ocean, who carves a path through pounding waves, the God who summons horses and chariots and armies. They lie down, then can't get up. They're snuffed out like so many candles. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. I'm bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers, and the badlands. Wild animals will say thank you, the coyotes and the buzzards, because I provide water in the desert, rivers through the sun-baked earth, drinking water for the people I chose, the people I made especially for myself, a people custom-made to praise me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our offertory hymn this morning is hymn number 484, Higher Ground. Let's stand together again as we sing. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land. Higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart
heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. Pray till heaven I found, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today thanking you and praising you for your amazing grace, for your saving grace, and your mercy on us. And we pray, oh God, that you be with us. We thank you for what you've done, for sending your Son, Jesus, many years ago, dying on the cross for our sins. And I pray today, if there's anyone that has not had the saving grace that I have, because of you, that they will not put it off till it's too late and turn it over to you. And God, we thank you that we are on higher ground, that we're moving forward. And help us in this church, dear God, to move forward. We pray that you give us the wisdom, the strength, and help us to, that your amazing grace will be upon this audience. Help us to remember of all you've given us, all you've blessed us with. And we pray today, it is a little of us to give back a portion of what you've blessed us with. But we pray now that you help us to be mindful to do that and do it by freely giving so that we can continue the ministry, not only of this church, but throughout the world. And we pray, oh God, that you'll take these offerings and bless them and use them to your service. And we give you the praise now for what you're doing and for what you're about to do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Nothing formed against me shall stand. The whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful, you are faithful, and nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who
you. Ruth's still standing, and there was electric guitar. Jacob, thank you. It's good. Behold. Pay attention. Look. See. Be alert. Be present in the moment. This is important, so put down your phone, your newspaper, your knitting, your portfolio, and listen to what I have to say, the Lord tells us today in Isaiah. These are the words of Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I am about to do a new thing. In fact, this is so new that it's almost like it's already happening right now. I am doing a new thing now, God says. So prepare yourself to experience it. This new thing from the Lord is on its way. It's coming, and in many ways, It's here. Doing new things is not new to God. God has been doing new things since the very beginning. In the beginning, God created, the author of Genesis tells us. The world was formless, it was void, it was empty, nothing was there, and out of nothing, God created something, something new. He formed the earth and the sky, the land and the ocean, the swallow and the elephant, and it was all new. A new story had begun. Behold, God says, I am about to do a new thing. As much as Genesis is about origins, that's what Genesis means, and about new beginnings, God does not limit the theme of newness just to the very beginning of the Bible, to the first few pages. In fact, we see God doing a new thing throughout all the Scripture. After the people of Israel had walked for 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, they stood before the Jordan River. It was at flood stage. The water was running high. And they watched the Ark of the Covenant move slowly through their camp, leading the way to the Promised Land. And you can hear God saying, behold, I am about to do a new thing. And then last week we saw the Hebrews camped at Gilgal. They're preparing themselves to conquer the Promised Land. We see God heal them by rolling away the shame of Egypt in order to begin a new story. The spiritual healing allows them not only to take the land that God has brought for them, but to become the people of God that God desires. It is a new beginning, and they have been prepared for it. When Jeremiah preached to the people of Israel, it was in the dying days of the kingdom, of the political form of Israel. Everything was dying. The people had left Yahweh. The world was falling apart, but God had not forgotten them. In the darkness of those days before they fell to Babylon, God gave Jeremiah a new vision for the people of Israel. God established a new covenant. God said to them, this new covenant will not be like the covenant that I made with your ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. Instead, I will put my law in their hearts within them, and I will write it there, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. As much as we like to think that God is staid or never changing, in fact, God is constantly doing a new thing. Behold, I am about to do something new. In today's passage in Isaiah 43, God is proclaiming a new thing to the remnant of those who had been led into exile from Jerusalem. When the Jerusalem had fallen, they were brought to Babylon. And for God was preparing them for a new exodus. For centuries, they had heard about how God had led their people out of Egypt, prepared them and took care of them in the wilderness. And now we find that they're in a similar situation. They are dispossessed of their land. They've been stripped of their religious symbols. And once again, God is about to do something new. Just as soon as we think that we are stuck where we are, God steps forward to do something new. The Israelites go back to Jerusalem, and they begin working to rebuild their walls through leaders like Ezra and Nehemiah. A new day has started. A new beginning has occurred. Behold, I am about to do something new. This is what the whole nativity story is about. When the curtain rolls back on Nazareth, the world seems destined for darkness. the Roman army controls the world, the people of God languish day to day in an occupied land, waiting to break free, but there is no leader to do it. And then one day, outside a small village of Bethlehem, sit a grouchy group of shepherds going through their daily, regular lives. When suddenly the sky breaks apart like a spotlight and the angel appears with the pronouncement. You know the words, "Do not be afraid, for you see, I am bringing you the good news of great joy for all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." Once again, God brings something new into the world. A new beginning, a passionate beginning. Behold, I am about to do something new. This is what Jesus told his disciples when they found themselves in the darkness, waiting for the darkness to break in. They found themselves in a small room in a back alley in the old city of Jerusalem. Everyone sitting around sharing the Passover meal with each other. It all seems normal. And then Jesus stands up and he holds the unleavened bread that they had shared together in Gilgal and Babylon and Egypt and Jerusalem. And he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Share it with me." And then he takes a bottle of wine and he pours it into a cup and he says, "See this cup? This is the new covenant that I am making with you. Something new is once again breaking in into the world. You don't understand, but it's coming. Something new and unexpected is about to happen. Behold," the Lord says, "I am about to do something new." And then it almost didn't happen, did it? The world gasped on Good Friday as the drapes of the temple were torn asunder, as the earth quaked, as the rain fell. And if there was ever a doubt that a new thing would never happen, that a new thing could be stopped, it happened on Good Friday. Jesus is dead on the cross. He's lowered to the ground and he's buried in a borrowed tomb. All hope of the future buried with him. The disciples scattered, the Roman guards on edge, the Jewish leaders triumphant. And then, just when everyone thought nothing new could ever happen again, it did. Jesus walked out of the grave. A new thing appeared. It was such a new thing that the people who saw him didn't even recognize him. Could it really be Jesus? Resurrection? Something brand new? And now it really is possible. A new life is possible for you and for me. Behold, I am about to do something new. And if the Bible begins with new, we find God constantly doing new things throughout Scripture, it should come as no surprise that it ends with something new as well. By the dying days of Israel as a nation, Revelation shows us that a world is in its final days as well. Wars and rumors of wars, the world no longer makes sense. All seems gone, yet even in this, God is creating something new. Here's how John describes in his vision in the last chapters of Revelation. "And then I saw a new heaven and earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband." This is the good news for you and for me. The gospel for us on St. Patrick's Day. Jesus says to us, "Behold, I am about to do something new. How often do we find ourselves in a place where we need God to do something new in our lives, and we wonder if it will ever happen? When we are filled with chaos, doubting that anything new could ever be created from where we are living. When we're filled with hurt and disgrace and fear, believing that no one will ever love us or care for us or forgive us. When we are cut off from all that we have ever known, struggling to find meaning and purpose in a new town, in a new vocation, in all that we ever do, will God give us meaning? When we find ourselves in darkness, wondering what the future will ever hold, when we graduate, when we get that new job, when we see our children leave the house, when we are completely without hope, seeing no way out, discredited, bankrupt, the house owned by the bank. When we think God has completely forgotten us or left us for dead or abandoned us. When we only see Jesus draped and being brought down from the cross, and we forget that there is resurrection. It is into these lives, into our lives, that God says, "Behold, Eric. Behold, John. Behold, Bobby. Behold, First Baptist Church, Cornelia. I am about to do something new." And the story of the entire Bible is, you can trust God. If He can ever do anything, it is bring something new out of what we think is dead. He's been doing it since the dawn of time, and He will do it till the end of time. Several years ago, the movie Castaway, starring Tom Hanks, came out. Tom Hanks played a FedEx executive by the name of Chuck Nolan. Nolan is stranded on an uninhabited island after his plane crashes in the South Pacific. And the movie depicts his attempts to try to survive on this island using the remnants of the plane's cargo. The one hope that helped him keep fighting to survive was his longtime girlfriend, Kelly, whose picture he kept with him. Finally, one day, a piece of fiberglass from a portable toilet washes up onto shore. And Nolan is able to use it to fashion a sail and build a raft and eventually escape over the breakers that surrounded the island. And when he was finally rescued and makes his way back to Memphis, he learns that his girlfriend has married and life has continued without him. And towards the end of the movie, Nolan summarizes the new thing that has happened in his life this way. He says this. He says, "One day, logic was proven all wrong because the tide lifted and came in and gave me a sail. And now, here I am. I'm back in Memphis talking to you. I have ice in my glass, and I've lost her all over again. I'm so sad that I don't have Kelly, but I'm so grateful that she was with me on that island. And I know what I have to do now. I have to keep breathing. Because tomorrow the sun will rise, and who knows what the tide will bring in." This is the story of the Bible too. For there are no real dead ends in life. God is always finding ways to bring the new things into our life beyond all reason. "Behold," God says, "I am about to do a new thing." But God doesn't end there, does He? Verse 19 continues it. "Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" Do you perceive it? The question is, will God do a new thing as He promised? The question is, instead, will we perceive it? Will we see the new thing when God is beginning to do it in our lives? Will we be able to raise our head up enough from the screens that surround us, or from the doubts that immobilize us, or from the fears that hold our heads down, so that we can truly see the new things that God is doing all around us? God is doing new things all around us, all the time. If we are able to see with our spiritual eyes what He's doing. There's an old spiritual principle. It probably goes back farther than Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby, but that's where it really got popularized amongst Southern Baptists and Baptists and others around the world. But it simply goes like this. Find out where God is working and join Him. Find out where God is working and join Him. Behold, I'm about to do a new thing. It's springing forth. Do you perceive it? The new things are already happening if we will take time to watch for it and join Him. Sometimes we get that bolt in the sky, that revelation, kind of like Rhett talked about when he went to Costa Rica, and all of a sudden the purpose of why he felt like he needed to go to medical school all of a sudden shone up, was there. But oftentimes we don't get that. We don't get the angel showing up outside our house saying, do not be afraid, because the Lord has been born today. Instead, we get a slow, constant, everyday part of our lives where God is saying, listen to me. It is about connecting our spirit with God's spirit. Last summer, during the during our Wednesday night prayer meetings and Bible study, I had different members of our church. I interviewed them. They simply told their faith stories. And then we asked everyone in the congregation and everyone who was there to simply begin to say, what did you hear God doing in their lives? And it was an exercise in perceiving. It was an exercise in beholding what God is doing new. Are you sick and tired of the situation that you find yourself in? Sick and tired of the thorn in your flesh, the challenge in your life? The invitation is to spend time reflecting on where God is already at work in your life. Behold, I'm about to do something new, God says. It's springing forth. Don't you perceive it? That's the invitation. When we allow these new things that God is doing to break in, these passionate beginnings create a passionate life. Verse 19 ends like this. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What a beautiful picture of passionate living for God. This dry, empty, barren space filled with the life-giving water of God. The invitation is simple. God is already at work in your life, doing a new thing. Our task is simply to learn to pay attention, to behold it. And then it is to join Him. To experience the passionate beginnings of a passionate life. Several years ago, our family took probably one of our most memorable vacations. We took a road trip, 2 weeks in the car to the Grand Canyon. Lots of open spaces, and we loved it. And one of the places that we loved the most was a place outside of Page, Arizona, up near Lake Powell, which is kind of upstream on the Colorado from the Grand Canyon. And there was a place called Antelope Canyon. Antelope Canyon is a slot canyon in the Navajo Reservation, and to get there, we had to load on a expedition jeep, and they got us in this jeep, and they tore outside of town, and finally they got off the road and they started traveling up to Antelope Canyon. And we traveled up this huge wash, which was basically a huge open area of just sand. Lots and lots of deep, deep sand. And as we traveled up the sand, and the cars were all over the place, not around here like you had these ruts like you had to get to one place, we're just filled with it. And on each side of this wash were these huge sandstone walls. And you realize that you were riding up a dry riverbed. And eventually you came to the end of the canyon. And as you saw yourself driving, you thought you were coming to the dead end because the canyon came together. And as you what you thought was the dead end, you eventually arrived and you realized it wasn't a dead end after all. But into the cleft of this canyon was an opening. And this opening led into the slot canyon called the Upper Antelope Canyon. A slot canyon is simply a canyon that's very small at the top and it opens up at the bottom. It's formed by the carving of water. And the walls are so smooth. And it creates these incredible patterns. And the light, as it comes in, creates wonderful illusions of light. Photographers love it. The amazing part of this canyon was that it had been formed by water. Everywhere you looked was as dry as it could be. There was no vegetation anywhere. But water had made its way through this cleft of this rock and had formed and shaped this most beautiful canyon. You see, this is what God wants to do in our lives. In the parts of our lives that seem barren and dry and desolate and lonely, God is already doing a new thing. And as the waters of God's blessings are rushing through our lives, and we begin to notice it, God begins to carve something new and beautiful and lasting out of who we are. We begin to be a new and beautiful creation. Our old lives are gone, the Apostle Paul says, and the new has come. Will you pray with me? And so now, O Lord, speak to our hearts. Open our eyes. Give motion to our feet. As we follow you into the newness before us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So this morning we give you an opportunity to respond to the Word of God. If in any way you need to come and speak to me, whether you want to accept Christ into your life and follow Him in baptism, to be a part of this church and join it and be a part of our mission in the world, maybe God's touching your life in some other powerful ways. If you need to come and pray, you need to come and pray with me. The altar will be open as we stand and sing hymn number 600, More About Jesus.
More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. Learn more about Jesus, learn more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see.
be seated for just one moment. I want to invite Brian and Angie up here for y'all to meet. Most of y'all have seen and met Brian and Angie Pete. This is most of us know them as Nikolai's parents. So that's kind of like how most of us parents are by this point, yes. But they are coming this morning to by a letter from a church in our community to join our congregation in the mission that God has placed upon us. And this morning, if you would celebrate with them and welcome them into our fellowship, would you say amen?
Amen.
We're so thankful to be part family together with you all now. We look forward to seeing how God blesses us through you all and how God blesses you all through us. So I want to invite you after the service today to come up and to give them a greeting. If you haven't got a chance to welcome them, there's a chance for you to do that as well. That'll be, though, after our acolytes lead us out. So let me have you stand right over here, ask our acolytes to come up and to lead us out. As they do so, I want to invite you. There is a Camp Agape committee meeting today right after church. We're having lunch, and y'all come on up, and you are invited to come. If you were just interested in learning about what you could do at Camp Agape, you could do that. And also make sure you've paid attention to the spring event coming up next Sunday after church as we celebrate Easter and spring with our children and our families. As they lead us out, join me as we pray. And now, O Lord, help us to remember whose we are, the children of a king adopted by grace. Remember who we are, a forgiven follower of Jesus. Remember why you are here, to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Remember to what you are called, to love each other in the same way that God has loved you. And now, as God's ambassadors, may God send us into the world to bring light to the darkness, hope for the hopeless, and joy to the world. Amen. Good morning. Excellent, guys. A little bit crazy, but we appreciate you. Thank you so much, Libby.